Welcome to this inspiring message brought to you by Kingsword Media Outreach, a part of Kingsword Ministries International. We hope this teaching inspires you and transforms you into all that God has destined you to be. Please stay tuned for more information about Kingsword Ministries International following this message. May God bless you as you listen.
Maybe 15 or 20 minutes, but what I sense in my heart is what I'm going to speak on right now, because I believe that moment we just had was significant in this service, and that's what God wanted to do. But I will exalt you in line with the season and the discussions we've been having from last week. Somebody says the finished work. When you say something is finished, do you have anything to do again when you say something is a finished work? What's finish or finish? When it's finished, it's finished, right? There's nothing to be done. When Jesus died, he said, when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." So I want to ask myself, what exactly is finished? What is actually finished? When he says it's a finished work, what is finished? Have you taken time to ask yourself, what exactly is finished? Because from study, observation, and research, you find out that it appears that we are trying to complete the work for him. The way we live our lives as children of God, we're trying to help him finish. You say, okay, Jesus, you didn't really finish this thing, so I think I can help you to complete it. I think I can help you to finish it, because you didn't really finish. Because if you say something is finished, it's complete. Finished is finished, right? Complete is complete. So I realized that it is not complete, or it is not finished, unless it's in him. So anything you try to do as a child of God, as a believer, and you do not do it in him, then it's incomplete. So we cannot say it is finished on its own. No, it is finished in him. That's why scripture says that we are what? Complete in him. So your completeness is not yourself. Is someone hearing me? You can't just stand and say, oh, I'm complete, I'm complete. No, your completeness has to take root in who? Christ. So when we talk about the finished work, we say it is the finished work of Christ. So even if Christ has finished it, and I try to start it, I may end up exercising effort to do it, though he has finished the works from the foundations of the world. But I am doing work, exercising effort, spiritual gymnastics, and it appears that I am doing something in the eyes of everyone that looks like a spiritual exercise or a Christian thing to do. However, I am not complete in him. So every exercise, every spiritual work, everything that I do as a child of God, as long as I don't do it in him, I am doing it in incompleteness. Because what he has done is finished. So you and I are not coming to finish or start anything. No. We are running a complete race that he had run already. He had completed, he had finished, done, dusted, gotten the glory and the reward and everything, and then he's handing over to us. Say, come sit by my right hand, or sit by my side, or sit where I am. So the work of Christ, the work of redemption, the work of salvation, complete soteria, nothing lacking, missing, or broken, is a finished work. But you say, Pastor, why is it that I still have some things that are missing or broken? Why is it that it's not really all together? And the problem is, you and I are waiting to arrive to a perfect state before we feel that God can use us or move us or walk within us or feel that there's glory and power on us. So right now, as you are seated, you don't believe that there is anointing on you, that God is working in you. You don't believe until maybe a car shows up, a house shows up, a marriage shows up, or something happens. And you say, wow, see what the Lord has done. But up until that time, you feel that you are still a work in progress. So you feel that nothing really happens to you until some material thing shows up, until some kind of miracle, in quote, happens in your life. Then you realize, like Jacob, oh, the Lord was in this place, but I did not know it. So the question is, was it when Jacob knew it that the Lord came, or the Lord had been there? So what happened to him? He came to a realization, came to a revelation that God is in this place, but though I did not know it, he has been there. So the same way the finished work of Christ has been finished, whether you know it or not. The day you come to the revelation of that finished work is not the day the work started. No, come on, talk to me. The work had started before. You just came to revelation knowledge to see that he has finished the work before the foundation of the world. So you and I are not complete in ourselves. We are complete in him. Tap your neighbor, say you are complete. But in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. But our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It gives life. So our completeness, our sufficiency comes from God. What makes us complete is not in ourselves. So the question is, if you begin to look at yourself to determine how complete in God, you're missing the point. The way you are, the broken state that you are, the you that is not so touche and not so prim and prep, the way you are like that in the spirit, the way you are. That same way you are is the way you come. So you're not trying to make yourself or mold yourself or form yourself before you come. No, you're not trying to do that. You're saying, just as I am, Lord, I approach you because my completeness is in you. What makes me complete is in you. I say this a lot, that I'm really not as, not to put myself down, but I'm really not as smart as some people think that I am. And I'm really not as detailed as some people think that I am. Because left to me, I'd rather just lounge. But there's something about me coming into the shadow of him, that when I step in that shadow, I begin to see my completeness. So I know that certain things are possible, not in myself, but in the knowledge of him. So when I come to the knowledge of him, I see certain possibilities. I see certain completeness. So where I draw my strength and my hope from is not in my weaknesses, but in the strength that he has. So I put myself in his shadow, and then I see a bigger picture, and I see a bigger me. I see a more intelligent me. I see a more wise me. But on my own, I am not complete. My sufficiency is not of myself. It is of God. So when Jesus said it is finished, he's saying to you and I that the work that I have come to do is finished. I have finished it. Your job is to step into what I have finished. That's your job. To step into what I've finished. So how do you step into what Christ has finished? Tell your neighbor it's a finished work. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12. It says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." That's where you and I want to be. That's the place we want to enjoy. Where we go forth with joy and peace. And we break forth, the mountains and the hills break forth into singing. All the trees of the field, they begin to clap their hands. Why? Because we've come into a place where someone has finished a work for us. So our going forth, going out with joy and being led forth with peace, so that mountains and hills break forth before us, not because of something you have done. So you disqualify yourself from this expression because you feel that you are not complete. So when the word comes and you feel that you should go out with joy and be led forth with peace, what happens? You tell yourself, what have I done to deserve joy? You know, have you seen some people say, how they put it? What have you done to deserve the laughter you're laughing? They are just joy killers. Say, as you are laughing now, has it brought money to the table? Is everything about money? Say, tell you to be serious with your life. You are laughing. Instead of you to be serious with your destiny, you are laughing. Continue this laughter. When there was trouble, he said, "He that seated in the heavens shall." So he's saying that you will be led forth. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. But the joy and the peace, you are refusing it to come. Why? Because you feel you need to. How was the word? You need to qualify for that joy and that peace. Say, what have you done in this life that you decide to buy yourself shawarma? Why? So what have you accomplished? You're seeing people like that. So what have you accomplished? You went to buy a new shoe. Have you done anything in this life for yourself? You went to buy a new shoe. Your mates are using that money to go and invest. You are buying shoe, buying clothes. Eh? You cannot talk. Life is not that serious. Come on. So you can't take yourself out. You can't do anything to yourself because you feel that you deserve punishment. What have you done? Ask your neighbor, what have you done? Say, why? Tell him, ask him, say, why are you doing this to yourself? Ask him, when was the last time you bought ice cream for yourself? Ask him. When was the last time? Every time. No, we must save for the rainy day. In this Port Harcourt, rain go fall every day. Which rainy day are you saving for? I say, babe, let's go out now. Let's go have a nice time. Is that what your mates are doing? Having nice time. People are serious with their life and you are having a nice time. Come on. He died for you. He died for you. But the word has gone forth. You will go forth with joy and peace. But that joy and peace cannot come because you feel that there was something you must have done to deserve it. But you're not looking at the one who had brought forth the joy and peace for you. It says, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Some of you, if you see mountains and hills breaking forth before you, you tell them to stop. You tell them to stop. That, you say, why me? Stop. Please, I'm in a very serious mode. Don't joke with me. Must you be serious all the time? Somebody cannot even say a joke in front of you. People just be joking your life away, be joking your life away. People are talking about serious things. You are joking, joking, continue joking. You've been serious all this while. How far? I mean, how far? You've been so serious with life, everything. How far? Come on, let's go and watch a cinema. How much is it? Let's go and watch a movie. How much is it? Popcorn is 2.5. Hey! 2.5 for one popcorn. In Lele One is 500 or 350. Can we buy it from Lele One and take it there? We'll do it at home. How much is corn? Come on. The mountains are hills. They are trying to break forth before you into singing, but you are stopping them because you feel that you must deserve that thing. When you come to the knowledge that you are complete in Him, see, let me tell you something. There are certain things that you need to do by yourself and for you. How many of you like what you're seeing here now? And you remember say, as I say, meye polakpu, Abi, if I'm correct, Abi. We're just starting. I could have said that to some people, ko necessary, it is necessary. Say, why did it just waste money? This thing cost us almost 400,000. Say, could necessary, we could have taken that money and helped the poor. Do you know how many poor we're helping? You know the finish. Say, could necessary, it is necessary. Understand that your completeness is not in yourself, it is in Him. The moment you keep looking at yourself all the time, you cannot have joy and peace. No, it's impossible. And then the finished work of Christ cannot have expression in you. Every time you'll be living on a budget, when will you stop living on budget? You say, Pastor, are you saying we should not budget? No, I budget. I budget a lot of things. But there are times when my kids just come, Daddy, can we have shawarma? I say, why not, if not? Did they know whether I have the money or not? But sometimes I may not have it. Sometimes maybe everything. But the mark on their mind of freedom and liberty in Christ, because that's what we have in Christ Jesus. Have you ever asked Jesus, your money not the finish? When Jesus said, it is finished, He actually meant it is finished. The work of faith that you and I do every day is to come into that completeness, not to start our own. He said they labor to enter into His rest. They did not labor to start their own, to enter into His rest. Because once they enter into that rest, Shekinah, it's done. It's done. So our completeness, our sufficiency, it is not of ourselves. It is in Him. So when I fast, when I pray, when I give sacrificially, it is because I'm trying to enter His completeness. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. No. What He has done, He has done. Every money you will ever have, every increase you will ever have is in Christ Jesus. But you can't come to that increase unless you enter Him. How do you enter Him? You enter Him through faith and in rest mode. Realize it. Many times it will test you. It's not always that easy. Sometimes you feel that this walk of faith, this Christian journey must be easy. No. There are things that require sacrifice. Not because you are trying to get God to do. No. You are trying to submit into what He has already done. You are trying to put your head under the canopy. You know that song? Under the canopy. You don't know it. Ah, sorry. It's Hillsong, give people know. But you're supposed to enter there and stay there continuously, knowing that you are complete in Him. And then He begins to take you from grace to grace, from increase to increase, here a little, there a little, to bring you to the fullness of Christ. That's the end goal. So you can't keep looking at yourself and putting yourself down all the time. I don't deserve some things. I deserve some things. I don't deserve some things. and God is trying to bless you, trying to bring a miracle your way, and then you are canceling the kind of miracle that God brings your way. You're canceling it. Someone takes you to a shop and say, pick anything you want. The first thing you do is what? The price. Hey. That's usually the first thing. You pick it and look at the price. You say, don't you like that one? I don't like it. What, you've calculated? Yeah. 70K. Kai, if you just give me that money now. See, you know, let me shake some very good tables. There's some things I do deliberately, and it's because, not because I have the money or the resources, but I need to tell my mind something, that this thing is just money and it's just paper. This seed is just seed. So the state I am now with my seed is a very crazy state. Very, very crazy state. Very crazy. I was speaking with someone over the week, and they were telling me some of the things that they wanted to do and all of that. And as they were talking, I just said to them, okay, so I'm going to do this and do this and do this for you. And they opened their mouth like, sir, really? I said, what's that? I said, give me your account number. Immediately, I wired the money. What they did not know, that was all the money in my account. But I was doing it with joy. Because I need to tell my mind that in Christ Jesus, money not the finish. Okay, Pastor, is it that after you left there, somebody just credited you with 1 million? No. Okay, maybe 2 days after. No. Or maybe 1 week after. No. But the fact that I know that I'm complete in Him makes no difference. Whether it happens 1 week after, 2 weeks after, that's not my goal. My goal is the fact that I'm telling this mind that there is a finished work that Christ has done that you must enter. And you have to enter it by faith and sacrifice. You have to enter it. You cannot keep doing Christianity with convenience. No. You think life will just look at you and say, okay, Christ has finished his job. Yeah, take it. No, it will test you. It will try you. It will bring up some things inside of you. Why? To ask you whether you truly believe this thing we are saying. Whether you truly, truly believe it. And when you believe it, and it rests in your heart, it begins to bring out the finished work of Christ. And then people look at you and see you and say, the Lord is blessing you. The Lord is blessing you. But the work to get into that completeness requires sacrifice, time, energy, test of faith, patience, everything to bring you to that place. Many of the things we're doing in church today, I would come here when there's no one here. I would walk around this altar, walk around the whole place, lay my hands on the wood, speak and call them to, some crazy things. Why? Because I believe this gospel. I believe the finished work of Christ. It's not a playing. Come on, someone. You're not playing here. Are we playing? No. It's a finished work. And if it's a finished work, let's act like it's a finished work. Let's not act like we're trying to help God. He has not finished it, so we're doing. No, no. If you believe something, you will act in accordance of that belief. When you're making your declarations of faith, when you're speaking over things, you're not speaking from the point of view that maybe God will help me or not. No, you are speaking from the knower of your knower. Understand the English. That you know deep down within you that what Christ has done is a finished work. Nothing can be added to it. It says the blessing of the Lord makes rich. He said, toiling does not increase it. There's no amount of toiling you want to toil that will increase it. There's no amount. I'm doing a course right now. I'm taking a training on mental health. I'm being trained as a mental health coach. It is $2,400 for that training. It's been paid for. How many gather do I want to gather? To gather. I say I'm saving for the rainy day. And gather the $2,400. How many? But I understand the covenant. And then I know that everything that I am, my completeness, my sufficiency. I like that word. My sufficient. What makes me sufficient is not in myself. It is in Christ Jesus. No matter how I try, I cannot be sufficient in myself. Nothing I have will ever be enough. Nothing you have will ever be enough. Save, pile, put it up together, everything. It will never be enough. The higher you go, the more you begin to see. I was speaking with someone about a week or so ago. I said, I need to do something. And what I need to get that thing done is about 27 to 30 million. And it's in my heart to do it this year. So what did I do? I began to position myself as a wise child of God on how to get that done. I pray, I will speak and declare, but then I'm also asking God, what is the wisdom to apply? Not because I can never be sufficient. If you are waiting for the day to have all the money to do all the things you want to do, my brother, my sister, you go wait. Tell your neighbor, you can't have all the money to do all the things that you want to do. Ask him another question. So when will you start? Did you answer you? When are you going to start? Because if you keep relying on your sufficiency, and you know we justify it. I need to cut my coat according to my size. The issue with that statement is that your size is not your size. Your size is his size. So you are failing to realize that the right size is his size, not your size. So if you are trying to be sufficient in yourself with the material you have and so... you are missing the point. So life has told you that cut your coat according to you, but they did not tell you that size have changed. You are no longer complete in yourself. This is now the new you in Christ. That's the new, that's your new size. Oh yeah, cut your coat according to that size. Let's see. Unlimitless abundance without limitation. Go forth before you with singing and trees, dancing, clapping their hands. That's the size. That's the size. So when you are cutting that coat next time, be measuring. Which size am I using? Am I using my sufficiency size? Or I'm using the size of Christ? Because if it's the size of Christ, let me tell you what that size is. He said, press down, shaking together, running over. That is the size. Limitless. Abundance. That is the size. He said, my God is able to make all grace abound toward you in all sufficiency so that you are lacking nothing in every charitable donation. Nothing. That's the size. So next time you are trying to measure, know the size you are measuring. Is it your size or the size of Christ? Because if you are measuring the size of Christ, it will be sufficient in yourself. But when your sufficiency is of him, no measure. You are trying to cut the coat according to Jerusalem size. He said, hold on, hold up. Jerusalem cannot be measured because it's a city without boundaries. It cannot be measured. Why are you bothering yourself to measure it? Tell someone there's a new size. It is the size of Christ. And I'm complete in him. Stand to your feet. It says that you having all sufficiency. in all things may abound unto every good work and charitable donations. So who is the one that makes that grace available? God. He's the one that makes that grace available so that you will abound in all sufficiency. That's what he came to do. That's the story of redemption. Not to redeem you and leave you. No, to redeem you to himself. You are not redeemed because he just brought you out. No, he brought you out to himself. He says he called the disciples together so that they might be with him. They might be with him. Lift your hands to heaven and say it's a finished work. Come on, say it loud. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. Glory to God. Thank you, precious Father. Come on, just bless him.
The preceding message was brought to you by Kingsword Ministries International. For information about Kingsword Ministries, visit us at kingsword.org for information and additional resources. Thank you for listening to this message. And remember, where the word of a king is, there's power.